Around Comics, Episode 19.
From Chicago, this is Around Comics, a roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman, and I am joined, as always, by my partner in crime and the producer of the show, Brian Salazar.
Howdy.
Joining us, as always, is Tom Caters.
Hello.
And the manager of Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles.
Mark Beatty.
Mark Beatty.
Hey, guys.
This, as you can probably already tell, is one of our less formal episodes. This is a midweek episode of Around Comics. We're going to do this one without our regular wire-to-wire news or top-of-the-stack segments. So if you are a new listener to the show, I would suggest that you go back and download Monday's episode. It will give you the full Around Comics experience. But tonight, we're just going to stick with one topic, and we are going to discuss the buying habits of comic fans as far as writer or artist or character. What drives you to buy comics? What do you follow? And where are your interests?
So, covers. I judge all books by the cover.
I don't even read them.
So we have a very humorous panel tonight, obviously.
Jokers.
You know, seriously, guys, funny, you know, most comic fans are going to... I'm not saying that they're only gonna judge what they buy on those three things, but I think that we all have buying tendencies, which are either I follow a particular writer or writers, I like certain artists, and I always make sure that I buy what they're drawing, or, you know, I'm an X-Men fan, or I'm a Nightcrawler fan, and I'm gonna buy anything that Nightcrawler is in.
Because there's so much.
I'm a big Jubilee fan.
There are people out there like that, and I'm telling you, they're there. There are people that you know, if Gambit is in something, they're gonna buy that. Or crazy people like the Flash.
The Flash, oh good lord, those are the worst.
Yeah. terrible human beings. It's not like he's a well established character like Bishop or anything like that.
Bishop.
Justify.
You know, then there are people that will only buy comics that have like huge apes and gorillas in them.
I wish that was an option. I wish there was enough out there that I could just buy those, but there isn't, sadly. So,
well,
sadly. Anyway, I've seen some ape slash fiction you might be interested in.
Doom Patrol villain.
Oh, Monsieur Mala.
There you go, right there. You've got
And the brain.
Yeah. Can't forget him.
Well, since this is a shorter, abbreviated version of Around Comics, we'll try not to deviate too much. I'll start out with Mr. Beatty. Whenever, you know, you're buying habits, what do you follow?
I only buy Michael Turner books.
Okay, actually, smart ass.
I love that guy. I do follow writers around. I do follow artists around. Okay. I think maybe my microphone sucks ass.
No, that's all right.
My trends basically are I do follow writers and artists a lot. Okay. There are certain characters I always collect or always pick up if I see them in a book, but I do follow a lot of writers around.
Yeah, I think that seems to be a trend in comics or for, you know, I don't want to say longtime comic fans because I know that there's a lot of guys out there that are like, you know, it's always been Spider-Man for me. I've been collecting Amazing Spider-Man since 1970, and I will always, always get that book.
From 1970? How old are you?
Well, not me.
I thought you meant you. I'm like,
No.
You've been collecting the Spider-Man since 1970.
No, guys like Rick Gordon. I mean, Rick Gordon has been buying Amazing Spider-Man since he could read comics, and he says he will always buy that book, and there are a lot of fans like that. But I think a lot of fans today have drifted away from following characters, and you see more and more fans that follow writers, and even across companies.
But I do actually collect Captain America. I mean, that's the one book, like I said, with Amazing Spider-Man, I collect that constantly, whether it sucks or not, which usually is it sucks. But right now it's fantastic.
Yeah, you got to be loving it
right now.
Yeah,
right now it's fantastic. But, you know, we had Cap Wolf not too many years ago. So, You know, I was buying it then too, sadly enough.
No. Sal, you follow writers, characters, artists?
Two words. Snick. Snick. No.
You need a Snickers?
I used to follow more characters or titles years ago. And I fell in the same sort of trap of, you know, whether it was good or bad, I had to have, you know, every issue of, you know, whatever it was. Avengers was a title that I read for years, even though it sucked. More today, I follow mostly writers. Artists, the art of a book is not nearly as important to me any longer as a writer, as a good story. So I'm definitely in the group that follows more writers than anything else.
Tom?
I'm sort of a mix of all of them. There's certain characters and stuff I almost always read. I mean, I love the Flash, so I always get the Flash, except for like the last four issues, which were terrible. But you know, I like Green Lantern, so I'll almost always take a look at what's going on in, you know, Green Lantern, and kind of coincides sometimes with writers. I never buy Batman, but I plan on buying Batman when Grant Morrison writes it, just out of curiosity to see.
But you know, are you following a writer at that point?
Yeah, I would say.
You know,
you
normally don't pick up Batman.
But oh yeah, I would.
You're gonna get it because of Grant Morrison.
Yeah, I mean, there's other writers like that. Like I'll pick up X-Men when Brubaker starts writing Uncanny, even though I haven't picked up Uncanny really long time.
So. I still refuse to pick up Uncanny because of that.
And artists, you know, there's certain artists I'll take a look at it.
I will probably read it because it's here in the store, but I cannot buy Uncanny X-Men. It has sucked for so long that I can't see anybody cleaning that up and making it.
You could say that about Captain America a year and a half ago.
We just think, you know, it's like, well, it's the Clone Wars. It's like the Spider clone and things like that. There are certain stories you ignore. I go, but it's hard to ignore 15 years
of
X-Men stories.
That's a hard thing, because we're talking about writers, do you follow him? And Ed Brubaker is a writer that I follow, and I know that he's not a...
Literally? Follow him around?
No, that's you, C.O. Salazar.
He does have a restraining order.
No, he's a guy that, you know, if Brubaker's name is on a book, I'm probably going to pick it up. Now, I've got really high expectations of Uncanny X-Men. Even, you know, Deadly Genesis has been good, but I don't think it's his best work, so I hope that his writing style translates to the X-Men.
I hope so, too. But I don't have high hopes of that, because, like I said, X-Men Deadly Genesis was a good book, and it was a good X-book, but it wasn't fantastic.
Yeah. I have a theory on it.
Why don't you tell us that theory?
Well, I think, you know, with that book, when he initially set out to write that, it may have changed somewhere in the middle, because, you know, then all of a sudden they announced that he's going to write Uncanny. And so he wanted to lead into Uncanny X-Men from Deadly Genesis. So, you know, not obviously for sure certain of that, but I'm just kind of thinking that book changed somewhere in the middle, and that story had to change.
Yeah,
to
it had a weird pacing thing where it seemed for the last two or three issues you saw the same thing kind of over again. Mm-hmm. Like, that was kind of where something changed in it. And then in the end, you know, I was kind of thinking, yeah, and then in the end I was like, oh, okay. Like, there's a couple issues there where I was kind of confused about the pacing of it. And also, it just should have been in Uncanny X-Men anyway. It's not like anything's going on in that book.
I think they're trying to tie up those ends and whatnot. But, you know, I know for Mark, you love anything that Mark Miller is doing these days.
I like Mark Miller's stuff, man. He's one of my favorite writers. I mean, he writes quite possibly the best superhero comic out there, Ultimates.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm so worried about Jeff Loeb taking over soon, because it's pretty inconsistent.
Yeah, but Loeb's a guy that I'll, you know, I don't follow and pick up everything that
he
writes.
He's got a lot of followers, though.
He can spin a good yarn.
Yeah, but he hasn't in a long time, really. Superman Batman has been, it got really confusing.
Yeah.
His best stories are Dark Victory, Long Halloween, mm-hmm. For All Seasons.
His Win in Rome, the Catwoman story. I love that universe that he and Tim Sal have created. That is just, I love that entire Long Halloween universe that they created. It's good stuff. Artists that you follow. You know, I can think of one today that I follow, and that's Tony Moore. But I know Sal has got a guy who's a writer and an artist that you put his name on there, and he's going to pick it up.
HC.
Yeah, I mean, Howard Chaykin, I'll almost guarantee that I'll pick up his stuff. And although I'm not reading Hawk Girl right now. I just don't care for the character and that. But, yeah, he's probably, I mean, you know, Frank Miller, for me, just about anything he does.
What about whenever he takes on the Al-Qaeda? You're going to pick it up out of morbid fascination.
Yeah, I probably will. I mean, just to see what kind of wackiness he's doing. I mean, you know, that's the thing, though. I mean, I've come to realize that not everybody, you know, even the greatest artist or writer or whatever, they can do bad work or stuff, not necessarily even bad, just I don't like.
And Frank Miller's proof of that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The Escapist cover, the special cover he did.
Yeah, you weren't high on that.
Didn't like that?
No. I've also seen the variant cover for All-Star Batman and Robin that's coming out, number 4 that's coming out Wednesday.
Yeah, those
are... And that's, it's very similar.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool, but it's still... I don't know what's happening with him.
He's a guy that, for me, could do no wrong for a long time. And still, some of his stuff I really enjoy. But, you know, there's some fault there. Now, you as a comic shop manager, what do you see the buying habits of the folks that come in here? What, you know, and I'm not saying, you know, I guess overall, what do you see?
I see people following probably the writers and artists more so than the characters. I mean, there are, like you said, distinct people that just pick up the X-Men titles. They get all the X-Men titles, no matter how bad or good they are. They just get all of them, because that's what they bought their whole lives. But most people, they follow around as soon as they find out.
Do they actually read them?
Yeah, they definitely do. But they don't read a lot of other books, actually. The pull books guys we have that do all X-Men actually don't do a lot of other Marvel titles.
It's just they've always been
getting them. Yeah, they do new X-Men, Uncanny X-Men, X-Men, all the miniseries, Excalibur, whatever is attached to it, you know what I mean? Any X titles they'll buy, and there's a few other things they'll pick up here and there, but for the most part, they stick out of the mainstream stuff. They don't buy Captain America or Daredevil or Spider-Man for the most part, but we have, I mean, a lot of the guys, I mean, they do follow the writers. They'll see, you know, Brian K. Vaughan doing a new book, and, you know, they want to sign up for that right away, no matter what it is, or anybody else. The same any hot writer right now, they'll usually...
Well, that's, I mean...
Brian K. Vaughan's definitely one of the biggest right now. Garth Ennis, there's guys that just follow Garth Ennis stuff, love it. Anytime there's any Garth Ennis stuff coming out, they immediately get it, good or bad, they're, you know, which, usually good.
Well, long before we ever started doing Around Comics, you were just my comic shop manager, and I know that, you know, I'd walk into the shop, and you'd be like, you know, hey, Warren Ellis has... just started this other book that he's, you know, check it out. And you knew my taste of I follow writers.
Yeah. And you definitely do. I mean, you, like I said, Brubaker is definitely your best boy. But you like Warren Ellis. And
Rucka.
I do love Warren.
Greg Rucka.
Rucka.
Yeah.
Even though I don't read a lot of Greg Rucka's DC stuff. So, you know, I got some of the Superman stuff.
Right.
So Wonder Woman's a character that honestly has never done anything for me.
It doesn't interest me that much. Same way.
Why I like Brubaker a lot, and yeah, he's one of my favorite writers, but I think, you know, you guys know that Warren Ellis is on a book. I'm picking it up. That's probably my number one.
I'm a big Warren Ellis fan. Everything the guy does, I pretty much pick up. He's probably my favorite writer overall.
Yeah. Tom, does it really affect your buying habits? You know, if you see a guy, are you going to really step out of your comfort zone to pick up a book that you normally wouldn't give two shakes about?
Sure.
I'll just pick up stuff if I like the title.
Of course, I'm talking to the man that picks, yeah, you know, I mean, that reads Caveman Robot.
My tastes just run so weird. Like, there's certain things I'll probably, you know, get unless it gets really horrible, but then I'll also see Sky It and I'll pick it up. So
what about artists for you, though? What artists?
I like, I always look at just about anything Alex Ross puts out, but I won't necessarily buy it. But he, automatically, I'll look at it, at least, to see if it's something I'll want.
I think that's, on, like, forums, you'll throw that out. It's like, what artist, no matter what they do, you will buy it. And I think, in everyone I've ever seen, Alex Ross gets the most votes of any.
Yeah, I mean, I don't buy everything.
He does so little, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Which is the nice thing if you're collecting it. He doesn't do a whole lot, so...
I think that's part of the draw, is that it's kind of a special event whenever Alex Ross does something, that it's like, yeah, that's a guy that whenever he comes out with something, I'm grabbing it.
So. Mignola would be another guy I think I'd put on that list for me. You know, a guy that anytime he draws anything, I'm picking it up.
Yeah, well, Mignola is kind of my trifecta in this whole conversation of writer, artist, character. You know, if Mignola writes something, I'm going to pick it up. If Mignola draws something, I'm definitely going to pick it up. And
if Hellboy's in a book.
And if Hellboy's in a book, I will get, that is the one character that I will consistently, if he is in a book, I'm going to grab it.
Well, lucky for you, if that's when all three of those things will happen, it's all just in one book, so you can pay $2.99 for it.
Holy Trinity, you found
it. You found it, yeah.
I'm out.
Perfect combination.
I have an old school one, John Byrne. Mm-hmm. It's the guy I grew up with reading. I mean, the X-Men and everything else, all the other stuff that he's done, Fantastic Four. And, I mean, he's definitely not the guy he used to be, but I still pick his stuff up just because that's who I grew up with.
So you're going to get the new Adam?
God damn right I am. It's going to suck ass, and I'm going to enjoy
it. You're going to love new every Adam. Horrible page.
The last thing that John Byrne did that I really enjoyed was his revamp of Superman.
Yeah.
And that was about the time that I was getting ready to get out of comics.
He did a nice job in Action Comics for the most part, but he had a good inker on him, a guy named Hazelwood, Doug Hazelwood.
Yeah. What's the whole deal with Byrne and the whole inking thing?
He's a little crazy, I think.
Have you ever been to his forum?
His forum's pretty good. I mean, the people are really, they're rabid for him, basically. But he needs to write, draw, color, letter, almost everything, it seems like. He needs to do everything in the book. He can't just let somebody else do it. I think if he let somebody else do some of the other work, his work would be better.
Yeah.
But he doesn't. And he still can put out, I mean, the one thing he could teach half the guys today is that, you know, you can put out 2 or 3 books a month and on time.
Yeah.
Byrne was definitely a guy, when I was growing up, that was, I mean, I wanted to be a comic book artist and I wanted to draw like John Byrne. That was.
Everybody did.
Yeah.
He was the first superstar.
Oh, yeah.
That I was exposed to. I mean, this is, you know, I was coming up way after the Kirby, Ditko, you know, Romita, whatever era. And, yeah, Byrne was the guy that's like, wow, I want to draw like that.
I think he gets the least amount of respect. He's of all the old artists, I mean, he's got respect, but comparatively people seem to...
He's become a bit of a caricature of his of himself.
Yeah, he definitely has.
Well, and we were talking about Frank Miller.
I mean, for 15 years, he was
the man.
Was the number one guy. Yeah. You couldn't beat him. He was definitely the most prolific artist writer in comic books. Mm-hmm. There's nobody out there that can beat him. He's done almost every title that Marvel has at some point or another, even if it's just an issue.
Best run on Fantastic Four maybe ever.
I would definitely say ever. He did a great run on Marvel Team-Up.
His X-Men stuff, obviously.
X-Men stuff by far, the X-Men is the best X-Men.
That is the X-Men. That's,
yeah, he's the guy that made Wolverine. If it wasn't for John Byrne, I mean, Cockrell would have made Nightcrawler the biggest character in the
world. This is a really cool story. We actually, Sal and I were talking about this week. We both picked up the X-Men Omnibus, and I looked
at it.
I picked it up right. You sold it to me. And I was telling Sal, you know, I grew up loving John Byrne, but I'm getting a huge appreciation for Cockrum's art. I'm really enjoying it.
He had a cool style. I liked Bob Layton myself back then.
Yeah, Layton was great.
Layton was a cool. He did a great. I mean, his run on Iron Man is one of the best.
But, you know, talking about Nightcrawler and Cockrum, what was the story you told me about?
Well, in the Omnibus, they talk about how that character was originally, Cockrum had created that character for a DC book. And the DC book never saw the light of day.
I mean, same costume.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean,
it
was Nightcrawler. I think even the name, everything, it was Nightcrawler. He had created for this DC book, and I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but it never was published. And then, hello.
Hello, caller.
So they didn't use the character, and DC didn't use the character, and then when he was working with Claremont on the X-Men, they wanted to create the new team, and he said, hey, what about this character?
Yeah, here's your ready-made character.
German acrobat.
And in the Omnibus, they show, like a pencil drawing of a cover of the DC book, and there's Nightcrawler on it with all these other, it was pretty interesting to see that in there.
That's
I mean, just imagine, you know, it's just imagine that, you know.
He would probably be a DC icon. Either that or the book would have totally bombed. No one would
have. He would have been killed in Crisis on Infinite Earths.
I don't know if he would have succeeded in DC because, I mean, he seems that much, I mean, he seems so much of a Marvel character, just the personality and, you know, what Marvel was built about, you know, just sort of that.
But I could see. Have you ever read that that 4-issue miniseries? I think Cochran did of Nightcrawler.
Nightcrawler is like a swashbuckler.
Yeah,
like that's what he loves. That could fit. That's what would have ruined the X-Men if Byrne had ever.
That could have fit, but that story could have totally.
Oh, that was a DC book, man.
That's totally could have fit within DC. Actually, yeah,
yeah, it was
like definitely. That could have been a DC book.
Yeah, that definitely could have been. I think it is a DC book, actually.
Yeah. Starjammers or something? Yeah.
Starjammers.
Oh, yeah, right, it is.
Yeah, he just...
But it seems like it's a DC book.
Well, that's another Cochran creation, right, so...
Oh, you know, but, yeah, I think, you know, as we get into this whole conversation of writer, artist, character, I don't think that there is any one right answer, any one wrong answer. Everyone on this panel does a little bit of the three of them, and you know, for me to be a total jackass here and say, oh, I can't believe, you know, there are people out there that buy every X book. What is wrong with them? You know, there's no wrong answer. That's fine if you like that, buy that. But
there's something wrong with that.
Well, I think part of it though is, you know, one, the cost factor involved. I mean, comics aren't cheap, and you know, if you grow up reading something that you know you like, and you know, it's in your wheelhouse. It's hard to deviate from that because, one, you don't, you know, to experiment with a bunch of other stuff, you're not sure what you're going to get. It could cost you a good penny, and people just, you know, they want to know what they know. They want to, you know, they want to be comfortable in their little zone and not.
You guys know my big, deep, dark secret is that I
watch Gilmore Girls,
Night Nurse,
Witchblade.
Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding. I have every Witchblade issue ever. Not all the crossovers.
Now the secret's out.
I can't drop that book. I haven't read it in 2 years, and it just, every month Jeez. It comes out.
I couldn't handle the original premise of that book enough to actually buy it.
I liked it, but, you know.
Is there Blade involved?
Be sure to stay inside and listen to AroundComics.com, especially during daylight hours. Seriously, it's spring, and the glint off your pasty white comic geek skin could blind someone.
That was a seamless
the magic.
That was a funny story.
And I'm gonna paraphrase Bendis, who was on Word Balloon with John Suntress earlier this week.
Don't use Bendis to defend your.
Hey,
fascination with Gilmore Girls.
Bendis says that Gilmore Girls is the best written show, one of the best written shows on TV. It is written as well as The West Wing or The Shield.
My wife watched it. Thing. She loves that show. She watched the thing that said they literally film all those different scenes so many times to get it right. They had to film it like literally
that
four or five, 6 times, the same scene.
Yeah, the dialogue.
Because it's so fast and so the pacing is so...
Yeah, the scripts for...
We all would love to have conversations like that. I mean, like Tom. I mean, he's gifted, but... the third phone call. Look at that.
The only episode of the Gilmore Girls I'm ever going to watch is when Vic Mackey from The Shield is on there and just unloads
and he takes down Lorelei.
Whatever. I don't know her name.
Oh, you guys are killing me.
Enough Gilmore Girl talk. Can we move on to something other than that?
That Witchblade thing again. You know,
Witchblade.
My thing with the basic premise of that book was, simply put, this woman gets this whatever weapon. She's a Chicago cop, a trained Chicago cop. Blade. So, of course, she's tougher than other women.
Apparently, you ever met a trained Chicago female cop?
Exactly. It's like, I've known a few. I happen to know one very closely right now, and I've known numerous other ones before. I go, a trained female Chicago cop? Pretty tough.
Italian.
Right there. That makes the difference. So I get tough with meatballs.
Anyway, it's a crap book, and every month that it comes out, and I find it in my pull box, I'm like, why am I doing this? And I'm just like, okay.
For issue 100, I know what you're doing.
I'm going to get to 100, and that's I'm done. So, you know, so that's my deep, dark secret.
Loser. Witchblade loser.
So, guys, writer, artist, character? Any final thoughts on that?
God, I don't know.
I can tell you other artists I follow real quick.
Yeah? Yeah.
Cassidy. Doug Mankey.
Okay. You turned me on to Team Zero because of Doug Mankey, and I love it.
Yeah. It's Tony Harris. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I definitely follow him because he doesn't do that much, so.
Yeah.
Frank Quietly.
Quietly, I don't know. It's the big bloated head.
I do love Quietly.
I love his style.
He, in Superman, All-Star Superman, draws Superman the way Superman should actually look.
The big bloated head.
Just like...
He looks like freaking Barry Bonds.
What does he look like?
That. He looks...
A big muscle-bound alien? Yeah, you know.
He's a tall, broad-shouldered man.
What was it?
No, yeah, what's weird about that, the guy may not look like Christopher Reeve, but his voice is freaking eerily similar.
Well, it's supposed to be. That's why he picked this guy, because he looked a lot like Reeves, and he's following the first two movies.
It's not that he looks like him, he sounds like him. It's freaking...
The same size, and basically he's only like 20 pounds more weight, a little bigger than the shoulders, I think. And
yeah, it's freaky.
It's really creepy.
You know, an artist I'm quickly becoming a huge fan of is Stuart... No, I'm
Stuart
sorry.
Little,
no, 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 no. McNiven.
I do like
Steve
his art.
Steve McNiven.
Steve McNiven.
Yeah. War, right? Yeah.
Sometimes the Mr. Mannequin they call it.
People like it, but I
tell you, I like his art too.
There's something about his art. It's very
computer-like.
No, but it's still at the same time like his fight scenes are so kinetic, and I mean they look like they hurt. Like when somebody gets kicked in the nuts by a Steve McNiven character. It looks like it would really hurt.
I cringe.
The only thing that bothers me sometimes about like McNiven and Cassidy is in some scenes. What?
Steve McNiven.
McNiven and Cassidy. What did I say?
Yeah,
doesn't matter.
Whatever.
You're making it doesn't matter.
Sometimes in a non-action scene, it just looks like stills from a like movie pitch. Occasionally, like in the new issue of Astonishing X-Men, I thought the art was really weak.
Well,
kind of,
I gotta say,
like, sometimes
Cassidy's stuff in Astonishing is not nearly as good
as his planetary stuff is godlike.
Oh, it's awesome.
Every cover, different style.
But it comes out every 3 months.
Yeah.
He's got time.
Sometimes it's just a little too static
for
me.
There's another one.
It's just phenomenal. I love his stuff.
Well, you were talking about Chaykin. His stuff in Hawkgirl, I don't think, is as strong as a lot of his other
work. In fact, a lot of his later stuff I don't find as appealing as
I've seen
his earlier
the preview
stuff.
Pages for New Avengers, though.
The Cap stuff, yeah, that looked really good. But some of the stuff that he's come out with, it just doesn't hold up to what I like of him, of his original or early work, I should say.
Here's an artist I'll follow, John Romita Jr.
No.
I used to hate him.
I grew to like him. I think he does a great Spider-Man, almost as good as his dad. Probably a little bit better overall because he's a newer artist.
Right.
I can explain it. Just the newer look.
More evolved.
But I really hate the way the guy draws hair. He should never draw a character that has hair. He should keep everybody in costume.
I love it. I love his
style. Have you seen that? I mean, I do like his style because it's very Kirby-esque also, and Romita-ish, and... But the hair drives me crazy.
Yeah, I used to hate his stuff. I mean, years and years ago.
Like his X-Men
era? I couldn't stand it.
Well, it was coming off of Byrne, and it's like...
Yeah, that's what it was.
No, it wasn't coming off of Byrne.
Byrne was who I associated with the X-Men, and here's this guy that, totally different than Byrne, and it was
hard. I grew to really like his stuff, and it's... I do.
Paul Smith was a great artist.
He snuck in,
surprised the hell out of us, and left.
I'll follow anything Steve Ditko does.
Kirby.
Hey, speaking of John Romita Jr., what's the preview that we saw? It's the Neil Gaiman story.
Eternals.
Very Kirby-esque.
Yeah.
Romita Jr.'s got that Kirby-esque look to him. I mean, he grew up with those guys, really.
Yeah.
They're freaking beautiful stuff, man.
The hair just drives me crazy.
Who's another guy? Who's working with Grant Morrison on the Batman? It's
J.H. Williams from Desolation Jones.
Kubert.
You're right.
I'm actually not big on the Kuberts.
I like their stuff, have you seen the preview from that Batman book? There was something floating around on the internet.
I'm just not big on their art style.
It looked phenomenal.
He's a beautiful artist. But
no, I'm telling you, I agree with you. I mean, I was never that huge a fan of a lot of their stuff.
I was not that.
But this Batman, I didn't even recognize it as his stuff.
So just
it was
perfect
so
for his art style.
Well,
sometimes you find your perfect character.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it looked It just looked awesome. I thought it looked phenomenal.
That's All-Star.
Yeah, there's certain guys that can't do certain characters like
that. I like the All-Star Batman, so I still like it.
Is it Batman Secrets? Sam Keith, right?
Yeah.
Oh. I couldn't see him doing like a lighthearted, like a Superman book, a bright, cheery. Right. It would still be creepy.
Yeah, Keith is. I like Keith's work, especially in this new Batman run. It's like
Tim Sandman Sale. Stuff, I'll follow anything he does.
Sale.
I've seen some terrible looking stuff. From him too.
I love all his. I am like what? What?
He's just. He's funky at times.
Well, he's definitely fun. That's what I like about it, though. I mean, I guess it depends on the story, but I haven't seen much of his that I
like. I didn't
like
the way like. The Catwoman series that Chris liked a lot.
The Winning.
I didn't like the way that looked at all. I did like gorgeous. The way it looked in The Long Halloween. And I liked it, you know, for all seasons. I liked the way it looked in that book, too. But the Catwoman book just didn't seem like he was getting worse or something.
Well, guy, not, I don't want to say kind of like Sal, but, you know, it's the kind of Sale, not Sal.
Oh, so, not me.
Michael Avon Oman is an artist that I would love to see him work on something else besides Powers, even though I don't know what that would possibly
what
be.
What could possibly work?
Thor. It'd be Thor. That'd be it, I think.
No,
I think he has to do independent stuff. I mean, you could see him on, you know, like, or not necessarily just independent, but like goofier kind of.
Walking
you
know, Dead.
No, no like Next Wave. I mean, you could see him on a book like that. Yeah, yeah. You know, and
I'd like to see him on other books. I'd like to see some kind of like a short story, like a DC or Marvel mainstream.
Actually, did some.
I know he did a What If? What if Thor became the hero?
Yeah, he did some BPRD stuff, didn't he?
Didn't he do some Hellboy stuff?
I don't know, actually.
How about Alex Maleev?
I love Maleev. Maleev, Wark, and Gatos are three guys I absolutely
Gatos, I don't care for.
The guy I see as the predecessor is David Mozzicelli.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Lark will tell you that.
Yeah, that's the guy they must have taken after.
I mean, hey, they took after it well, because I love all three of those guys.
Just like Eduardo Risso definitely took after Brian Stelfreeze. He's been doing it for 20 years.
Yeah.
And it's very distinctively the same.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at it.
But good, yeah. Rizzo's art is
Rizzo's got a great style.
Yeah.
Really dynamic covers, and you got to like that.
Well, he's been doing it for a long time, too, just not in this country.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 45 years old.
But you can definitely tell if you looked at Matador,
mm-hmm.
It was a 6-issue miniseries, that there were, it was, I mean, like I said, Stelfreeze has been doing this for a long, long time for DC, and it's just too similar to be. That he didn't,
right, he didn't
stylize
that, his
art. Yeah. Kind of like Jim Lee. If you look at early Jim Lee stuff, it's definitely John Byrne.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he must have grown up. He's about our age anyway, sure. So he probably grew up on that. And I mean, he's definitely coming to his own nowadays, but...
I know a guy that's
just a natural progression.
Well, I know a guy that Tom still follows to this day is Liefeld.
Yes. Anything that he touches... Things he reads, I'll collect. He doesn't have to
draw. I just want to know how Juggernaut... stands on a size 10.
What?
Have you ever seen how little the feet are?
Oh.
it's the Rock of Cider Act.
From now on, Liefeld is like Hitler. You can't, if Liefeld comes up, that's it. End of the conversation. We can't.
I'm not saying comics in the 90s, but
come on, let's not.
But he definitely pushed it a little.
What about artists that you think would. Are doing something really cool now, but they could never, you know, really do anything other than what they're doing, the kind of book that they're doing.
Who's doing Rakito?
That's a cool book.
Rakito?
Rakito.
I say Rakito. It sounds funner. It sounds more, you know, European.
I mean, I love that that book's really cool, and his style is perfect for the tale he's telling, but I don't know how much else he could do than that. I mean, certainly he's not going to do the, you know, mainstream stuff. You're not going to see him drawing Superman or something like that. But even beyond that story, if it's not sort of that, you know, mythology laden.
Who's the guy that's doing Strange Girl? I couldn't see
him doing a superhero book either.
No, it's.
I don't know what his name is. I can find out. It's about 10 feet from me.
I'll go get it.
You can see it.
Yeah, he's another one that
reach it.
It really fits that book, but he'd be hard pressed. At least in that style. I mean, guys can obviously change styles, but I'd say almost the same thing for Tony Moore. I mean, it'd be interesting to see him do
right in front of you, go to your right.
You know, mainstream stuff. But do you think he could really pull off, you know, probably a Spider-Man book, but
maybe a miniseries of some sort.
Yeah, I mean, I love his art.
I couldn't see him doing a main run, huh? Opina,
Opina,
Jerome. Henna.
It's Jeremy.
Somebody will go on the forum and correct our English or lack thereof.
But, you know, like we were talking about Michael Levon Oeming. I mean, that's, you know, his style is so distinctive that, you know.
If Mike Mignola ever needs some time off, the guy that's doing The Keep could probably at least take an issue in between.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if I could see him.
Well, Guy Davis is doing BPRD right now. I think he's a lot of people that are big Mignola fans, you know, are saying that it's kind of, they don't like it. But I think it's fantastic for that book. I like Guy Davis. I think he captures those characters very well.
Ethan Van Sciver.
Oh, yeah. He's
he's a guy that I've
God, there's so much talent out there. I mean, we really haven't even talked about authors yet, writers. We could talk about amazing
writers. Ah, it's all about the art, baby.
There are so many, so much talent out there right now. It's just overwhelming.
Good, but he can't get anything out on time.
That would be
Bendis. Kind of a
yeah,
problem.
That'd be,
I really
Bendis.
Like...
What's that?
Can't get anything out on time?
No, but...
Oh, Ben come Skyver. On. Oh, that's not fair.
That's not from even the, true.
I really like Rags Morales, the guy who did...
The guy writes like 9 books a month. What
so
are you talking
Jeff
about?
Jeff Jazz and his are out
Tom's
on
trying
time.
To make a point.
I'm sorry, Tom.
I'm done. I've talked my half hour out. Right.
Do it. Talk. Say
all
it
right.
Now.
All right. This is what, once again, as every topic at Around Comics, we could end up talking about it for hours, but this is supposed to be a small episode to give people a little tease about the show.
We've been talking for that long.
36 what? Minutes.
Hey, okay.
Yeah,
yep.
Compared to the 109-minute episodes.
Don,
the
cut Mark off.
This is the shortened version. All right. We're going to wrap it up there. Once again, this is a little bit West Formal
Eric
episode.
Powell.
Good Lord, people.
I'm just going to walk over to the shelves and take a look.
See what's on the shelves.
Oh, boy.
You guys have a fantastic rest
Hester.
Of your week. Yes, I love Phil Hester.
Phil's a great
that was what I was going to mention.
Brian Wood.
All right, I'm not even going to do the long outro.
Whoever it does.
American Virgin.
Lost Squad.
Thanks Vampirella. For listening. Tune in on Monday for a new McGuire. Long version of Around Comics. And we'll see you then. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Sal. Thank you, Mark. And we're done.
Beast Force.
Go, go.
If you would like to suggest a topic, send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member, email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. For that and the latest in comics news and opinions, go to www.aroundcomics.com. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next week, where the panel will change, but our mission stays the same, bringing you the best in discussion, news, and reviews in and around comics.